Almighty God, we are thankful for the opportunity to sing praises to you and to join in with the heavenly host in giving you thanks and recognizing your glory. As we come now to your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would speak to us, that you would mold us, that you would shape us, that you would transform us, that you would make us fit as servants and children of yours through the precious blood and work of Jesus and the empowerment and leading of your Holy Spirit. So come now, we pray, through Christ. Amen. Well, last week we dealt with a difficult passage of Scripture, one that I said I had a hard time with, didn't like, and yet from it God teaches us some great things. The whole issue of suffering, often through no action of our own, that God says, I need you to consider this to be a discipline, a training, because that's going to make it part of my holiness shining through you as you learn and my glory comes through you. And then we concluded with the passage that ends, and therefore strengthen your flagging arms and strengthen your weak knees and finish the race. And that's sort of, we spoke in many, many general terms. Well, we're all different, aren't we? And some of us just sort of like a big picture, and then we like to fill in and the details ourselves, color in the lines ourselves. And others say, you know what, I'd like something a bit more specific of exactly what does it mean? What does it mean to strengthen up our arms? What does it mean to make our knees stronger, to move forward in the holiness of God? And so what God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired the writer to do next is give some details about what exactly this means, this whole thing about living in holiness, about living in the glory of God flowing through us, about taking those things that happen to us in life and allowing God to use them as training to make us people who represent Him. And so we've got some details here flowing right out of this whole teaching of using difficulties, hardships, struggles, even agony, even persecution for training. So let's pick it up. Actually, in verse 12, just so we kind of get the context to remind us of where we finished last year. Last week. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance, rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. So here's some specifics about the life we're to lead, the life we're to live under the power of the Holy Spirit, which reflects the holiness and the strengthening of the arms. Make every effort. The word that's used there is a pretty strong word. It really means put your back into it, you know. Make some effort. Do the work. Carry on. Make yourself do it. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But make it an effort. Make every effort. Put it as a priority in your life to live these lives. Well, what are these lives? The first thing is to live in peace. The whole sense here is the idea of harmony with other people. It's a command here. It's not just a suggestion. It's saying if you're a follower of Jesus, even though you're facing this persecution, even though you're going through these difficult times, make every effort to live in harmony, at peace, to live well with other people. And it's especially profound, this command, when we think about the context that they were living in. They were being persecuted. They were going to face death, probably. And God says to them, in the face of that, in the midst of that, even those people who are persecuting you, even those people who are on your case, even those people who are putting pressure on you, even those people who are hurting you, you, as far as you're concerned, make every effort to live at peace with them, at harmony with them, to get along with them. They went to worship service, still in the synagogue, probably. And so here were these Jewish followers of Christ, worshipping with Jewish people who did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. And you can imagine some of the animosity and the looks that they'd get in the midst of it. And he says, you know what, in the midst of all of this, even though they are formerly those people that embrace you and love you, and now they're rejecting you because you're a follower of Jesus, with those folks too, live in peace. Live in harmony. Get along. Even with yourself, as you find yourself in the midst of doubts, and remember this whole context of this book where people are saying, this life is too hard, I'm not sure I want to do this Jesus thing anymore. He says, in the midst of that, live in peace. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Easy words, difficult to do, especially with those who are burning into our hearts, who are persecuting us, who are miserable whenever we show up. So live at peace with everyone. But then you know what he does? He puts a limit on it. He understands that though our heart's desire may be to live in harmony with people, it might be to live in peace with people, he understands that there's a limit. We can't compromise everything. And so he also says, make every effort to live lives of holiness. To be holy. To be people who follow the character of God. At all costs, he says, be holy. Even if it costs you your friendships, even if it costs you your relationship, there's a line as Christians that we just can't cross. That we might, you know, walk with people and be with people and entertain with people and all of these different things. But there's a line there, he says, that you need to understand that there's a line we must not cross this line because we must remain holy. Stay holy at all costs. Make every effort to be holy. Well, maybe at all costs is a bit of an overstatement, but I say it that way. Because holiness doesn't get much press these days, does it? This whole idea of God's character being at the center of our life. This whole idea of God's purpose for creation and for us and for his kingdom, forming who we are and what we do. It's this whole thing which we looked at all last year of our first strategic ends of seeking first the kingdom of God. That's holiness. It's living out the kingdom in our life. And he says, make every effort to be holy. Because without holiness, no one will see God. Well, how does that work? Well, I've shown you my little diagram with my two balloons 1,000 times before, but I'm going to show it to you again because to me it's central to our understanding of what we're all about. Because it says, well, without holiness, you can't see God. Well, now we're in trouble because we look at our lives and we can see all kinds of things in our life that don't look very much like Jesus. So how is it we can have hope of ever seeing God in the positive way? Well, it's because of this. It's because Jesus makes us holy. It's because Jesus makes us complete. It's because Jesus makes us a people who are fit for the presence and the service and the love and the fellowship of God. That's our condition in Jesus. When God the Father looks upon us, he sees the work of Jesus Christ. He sees what God has done, what Christ has done for us. And he says, this person is holy. This person is set aside for me. This person is fit and suitable. He is restored to the human being as I first created them. But then we look on earth and we look at ourselves and we look at each other and we say, you know what? And I don't see there's some room to grow here. That's that inside balloon. And the whole point of the Christian life is for our condition to grow into our position. For who we are in the flesh, for who we are as people, for who we are in our marriages and in our friendships and in our neighborhoods and in our workplaces, to allow the Holy Spirit to so work in us and form us and shape us that we become to look more and more